As we mentioned, it's been a year since President Obama announced the heroic mission of Navy SEAL Team 6 that killed Osama bin Laden. SEAL Team 6 is a secret unit tasked with counterterrorism, hostage rescue, and counterinsurgency. Howard Wasdin was a member of the team and has written a book, SEAL Team 6, Memoirs of an Elite Navy SEAL Sniper, bringing readers inside the world of Navy SEALs and Special Forces snipers. After graduating, first there was combat in Operation Desert Storm as a member of SEAL Team 2, then the Green Course, the selection process to join the legendary SEAL Team 6, with a curriculum that included practice land warfare to unarmed combat. Howard Wasdin joins us on the roundtable this morning. Howard, thank you very much for being with us. A pleasure to have you back on the show.
Great. Good to be back.
You know, the last time you were here was just as the book was coming out. The book, you had been working on this for a long time, and it just happened to be timed. It was just coincidence that the book was coming out just shortly before. Well, I guess it was rushed to print, right? It was ready to go, and then Osama bin Laden was captured and killed, and then the book came out right after that.
Well, it was actually due to come out on the 14th, and after he was killed, they moved it up 4 days to the 10th. But you're right. I was fortuitous with the timing, and regardless of some conspiracy theorists, I had no insider information about this going on and going, hey, guys, hurry up and get this thing printed or whatever.
Well, and then you became kind of our go-to guy to understand this elite force that was responsible for this mission. We talked about this the last time you were on. And what is, I guess by its very nature, it has to be secretive. And what is it, do you think, we now as a culture over this past year and because of this huge mission know about this team? And do you think it has changed at all as a result?
No, I don't think so. The members of this team that were on the op, and certainly anybody associated with the op, have still said nothing, regardless of what you read. Admiral McRaven has made that very clear. So all these people who come up with books after the fact saying, hey, I got the real scoop, et cetera, that's all a facade. And as far as the way they do business, none of that's ever put out. You know, the task, conditions, standards, techniques, that's not put out. I think any information you wanted on SEAL Team 6 that's out there now, you could have gotten before Osama bin Laden was killed. It's just that by taking out the number one most wanted man in the world, going to put you in the spotlight. I don't think that anybody's given up anything that shouldn't have been given up, and I think personally that these guys are long overdue for a pat on the back because of the sacrifice they make every day.
I'm going to go back to something that you just said. Of what we are reading, that there are members of that team that are upset with the President of the United States going to Afghanistan, taking credit for this mission. Should we not believe that then?
Well, I'll say this. Everybody's welcome to their opinion, but remember, President Obama is commander-in-chief of the military. So good, bad, or indifferent, if something goes really, really well, he's allowed to step up and say, hey, happened on my watch, I did it. However, where I stand on this is, while I think he did a couple things right, one key thing that he did right was not notify Pakistan we were coming. And that, in effect, made sure that we didn't walk into an ambush or that the package was moved, et cetera. So I give the president full credit for that. I don't think, for example, a Clinton administration would have had the audacity to do that. So I have no problem with him taking some credit for that. What I do have a problem with, it sounds to me, listening to the video, that he's chest-thumping, taking all the credit where the shooter should be taking the credit for that. I mean, these are the guys that were in harm's way. He made the call, but I think he's kind of over the top in the way he's presenting it, and I especially think he's over the top using Slick Willie as his narrator.
And by Slick Willie, of course, you mean Bill Clinton, former president of the United States, who is the voice and sort of narrating this video. What does it say, do you think, about going to Afghanistan yesterday on the anniversary, making this announcement, and talking to the American people? The one thing I will say is it seems, over the last few days that he has given this team a tremendous amount of credit for the work that they have done.
Sure, and that's how it should be. But if you've seen the video, I think, like I said, I think it's just over the top. Hey, me, 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 me. And the thing is, as President of the United States, as Commander-in-Chief, as I stated, you've got to be willing to take the good with the bad. Let me give you the other side of this coin. Back when everything, all hell broke loose in Afghanistan due to the burning of the Quran, instead of behaving the way he did, instead of responding the way he did, here was his time to really be Commander-in-Chief. Here was his time to back his troops and say, hey, look, the Quran wasn't being burnt because it was the Quran. It was being burnt because it was a means to pass letters back and forth, notes back and forth. That's all because of what was done. It would have been the same way if you'd have been using the Mona Lisa to pass something back and forth. You know, it was used as a vehicle. And he should have said, look, it was wrong for you to do that. They got burnt. And if you continue that, it's going to continue happening. Instead of going hat in hand, kowtowing to them, apologizing to the world, et cetera, should have said, hey, look, backing my troops 100%. This happened because of the way it was being used, not because of what it was, and stood his ground. Had he done that, I think the military now, when he's trying to take credit for possibly the greatest op of all time, would be more tolerant of him.
How difficult was it for you to get this story out, in the sense of how many checks and balances were there in place to make sure that the information that you were providing us, the reader, was not compromising anything?
Well, yeah. Well, you got to go all the way back to like 1994, which is when I started writing the book, and then, you know, of course, got sidetracked and finally finished it up. But to make sure I wasn't giving anything up, actually, General Hugh Shelton vetted the book, former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and former intelligence guys, former Delta Force, former SEALs, all looked at it to make sure that, you know, nothing's being given up. And in my book isn't a chest-thumper book. It's not like, hey, look at me. This is a story about overcoming adversity. Overcoming adversity as a young man, overcoming adversity as an adult, you know, very little politics in it, other than the fact I thought we should have finished the job in Mogadishu, which we didn't do. I made sure that, like I said, it was vetted, that I wasn't giving up any tactics, techniques.
You have written a book for kids now that's now out called I Am a SEAL Team 6 Warrior, Memoirs of an American Soldier. It is an adaptation of this book written for a young adult audience. Why do you think the story is so important for young adults to read?
Yeah, thank you for asking that. The I'm a SEAL Team 6 Warrior is the YA, or youth adaptive version of the book. We brought it down to a reading level of about sixth grade and higher. And I think it's important because I want that young person who's out there, who was in the position I was in, you know, being abused as a child, having a rough childhood, not having the money to go to college, et cetera. I want every child that's out there in America that reads this book to realize, hey, I live in the greatest country in the world. And if I'll just keep my head up, if I'll just keep a positive attitude, I can accomplish anything in life. Look at this guy. The odds were against him. I was born premature to a 15, 16-year-old mother, adopted at an early age, abused as a child. Like I said, had no money to go to college, but was still able to achieve some pretty good things, you know, member of the most elite force in the world, a doctor. And I want the kids to say, hey, I'm in this situation now, but look at Dr. Wasden. He achieved this, he overcame it, and I will too. And if I can accomplish that with one child, it's been worth it.
How does the doctor part fit in?
Well, that's a good story. I can tell you haven't read the book. When I got out of the teams, I had chronic low back pain and neck pain due to you know, being shot multiple times, and went through all the traditional medicine and everything, and was still hurting, not sleeping through the night. So a buddy of mine on a SWAT team down in Florida said, "Hey, look, go see this chiropractor." And at the time, I didn't know chiropractors were doctors. I thought they were massage therapists or something. So after a, you know, back and forth, I finally went and saw a chiropractor. And after the third visit, I slept through the night for the first time, all the way through the night for the first time since October 3rd, 1993, which is when the Black Hawk Down mission happened. And after that, when I had the chance to go back to school and on the VA grant, I took it and became a chiropractor. So the joke around my clinic right now is I still put people out of their misery, just in a different way.
And, I mean, one of the things that you write about in the book, which I found fascinating, is that sort of that return to a normal, whatever that is, a normal life. And having achieved what you achieved and knowing that one of your great strengths is that of being a sniper, you know, not most people are you know, that's not something that normally is called on in the average job.
Yeah, I couldn't show up at a Fortune 500 company with that resume and say, hey, I can shoot somebody 1,000 yards and have them go, hey, give him six figures. We need him right now. So you're right. But seriously, going what I call from rock star to rock bottom was another way that I had to mature and change. It's like going from driving a race car to a Greyhound bus, if you will. Getting back to normal, you know, whatever normal is.
Right.
Was actually the hardest thing, way harder than being shot. Going from a Tier 1 unit back to society was the hardest thing that I ever did. Not to mention, you know, I had some issues that I didn't even realize I had then. Survivor's guilt, you know, which is a form of post-traumatic stress. You know, all those questions, why did I live when better guys have died? And, you know, kind of messed me up for a few years there. But, you know, like I said, you hang in there, you keep your faith, and you drive on. But absolutely, assimilating back into society was the hardest thing I've ever done.
The name of the book is SEAL Team 6, Memoirs of an Elite Navy SEAL Sniper. The book is now out in paperback from St. Martin's Press. Meanwhile, the young adult version is I Am a SEAL Team 6 Warrior, Memoirs of an American Soldier, both by Howard Wasdin, also out from St. Martin's. Howard, thank you very much for being with us. It's a great pleasure, and I thank you very much for sharing your expertise with us this morning.
It was my pleasure, and God bless our troops.
Thank you very much. Again, the name of the book is SEAL Team 6. You're listening to The Roundtable. I guess he was done. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.